Hello, my name is Jayema, and you're listening to Unpurified, the Ramblings of a Black Queer Christian. For today's episode of the podcast, I wanted to talk about why the Bride of Christ prophecy is so hidden. The reason that I am asking this question... I asked the Lord this question, because, like, when I first realized the Bride of Christ prophecy, I knew it was true, but it took me a while to unlearn the false doctrine. And, like, this one was, like, one of the, I don't know, it was a really hard stronghold for me to break. Like, I'm a stronghold breaker. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do this like water. Like, I don't even know how to, like, y'all know this. Every message I break a stronghold. But, like, I don't know, with this one, it was really hard for me to break. Or I guess, like, continue to break, I guess. Because it's like, I knew the truth, but it was hard because there was so little people who were speaking the truth. And so, like, it was hard. Like, it was hard for me to, like, fully believe it, I guess. Or, like, to continue to believe it, I guess, is really what I'm saying. And it's like, the prophecy is so hidden, and I don't know, like, it feels hard to even, like, prove to other people that it's true. So I was like, girl, why? Like, why? Like, why? Like, why? So, I will give you girls the answer to that. If you have been, you know what I'm saying? If you have been struggling to accept this, or if you believe this and you've been struggling to get other people to accept this, I will let the girls know as to why this is the case. So, let's get into it. Yeah. Okay, so when I asked the Lord why the Bride of Christ prophecy is so hidden, he told me that it was so that he can protect his wife from the world. And the way that he showed me that, he, like, led me to John 8:59, and that verse says, then they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and left the temple. So, in that verse, when Jesus was, like, on the earth and preaching the gospel, he hid himself because the people around him were trying to kill him. So, God was telling me that he has hidden his wife's prophecy so deeply in order to make sure that no one kills her. And I know this sounds, I don't know, after doing all of this, I'm like, okay, this kind of makes sense to a degree, but, like, I don't know, I was a little skeptical of this answer at first, because, you know, I was like, I don't know, like, I didn't know if this was true all the way, because I'm like, this kind of sounds like, you know, like walking in fear, in a sense. And so I was like, I don't know for sure if this is from God or if I was hearing it right, but, like, He kind of like started to show me other things about how like this is why he did this. So I like was looking through like the gospels and things, and so like to put this answer into perspective, both John the Baptist and Jesus were both prophesied in the scriptures to show up on the earth, and both of them were murdered for speaking the truth. And a lot of people don't talk about this, but when Jesus was walking on the earth during his like 3.5 year ministry, he was almost murdered 8 times before they finally killed him at the 9th attempt during his very short ministry. You know what I'm saying? So like the whole time that he was like preaching on the earth, he was dealing with extreme opposition that included multiple attempts at his life. Okay, and so like if you want to see the verses for every place where this is so, you can see it in Luke 4:28-30, Luke 19:47-48, Luke 20:19-20, Mark 3:6, John 5:18, John 8:59, John 10:39, and John 11:53-54. So those are all the attempts in the Bible that you can see where people have tried to murder Jesus throughout his ministry. And, you know, if we remember the Bride of Christ's prophecy, she's prophesied to be a prophet. You know, like she's someone who is supposed to be speaking the truth. So because, you know, John the Baptist was a prophet, and since Jesus is God, you know what I'm saying? But both of them, you know what I'm saying, they would speak a lot of truth. All of them would speak truth. And so like that could give her away, and that could cause her to be hated on and plotted against. And so, you know, the reason that many people would try to kill her is, you know, one, she would speak the truth and she would make people upset. But also, two, is that many people would be jealous and envious of her position in the kingdom. And like, you can see that already with like the mass amount of like false soul brides, false people who believe that they are Jesus's one and only wife, that are like popping up everywhere on the internet. And like, these people are the kind of people that would attack the real Bride of Christ. So God wanted to make sure that she was like extra, extra hidden to protect her. So in order to prevent you know, so much jealousy from happening, God has allowed the church to believe that everyone was his bride, because his true bride would chase after him regardless. And when the whole church believes this, it prevents people from trying to plot against his actual wife. So like, even if she were to tell people that she's the Bride of Christ, most people wouldn't think anything of it, because like, everybody believes that everyone is the Bride of Christ. You know what I'm saying? So like, the real Bride of Christ would be hidden in plain sight in the midst of a church that, you know, believes that it's her, so that it can protect her from being killed by the church in the same way that Jesus was killed by the church. So yeah. And if, you know what I'm saying, if you need a biblical evidence of this happening, you can see this jealousy over the bride's position in the Bible, with the request of James and John, when they followed Jesus, them and their mom asked Jesus if they could be the two highest people in the kingdom when Jesus sits on his throne. And when the other disciples heard that they wanted this position, they became angry with them. And you can read the full story in these verses. And I think I will read them. You can see it in Mark 10, 35 through 45. And that says, then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, there is something we want you to do for us. What is it? Jesus asked them. They answered, when you sit on your throne in your glorious kingdom, we want you to let us sit with you, one at your right and one at your left. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I must drink? Can you be baptized in the way that I must be baptized? We can, they answered. Jesus answered them, you will indeed drink the cup I must drink and be baptized in the way I must be baptized. But I do not have the right to choose who will sit at my right and my left. It is God who will give these places to those to whom he has prepared for them. And when the other disciples heard about it, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them all together to him and said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the heathen have power over them, and the leaders have complete authority. This, however, is not the way it is among you. If you want to be great, you must first be a servant of the rest. And if you want to be first, you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and give his life to redeem many people. So, you know, when you read the story, you know, I don't know for certain whether or not the disciples knew about the bride of Christ or not. But if they did not know about the bride of Christ, you can see like the jealousy and the anger coming from the 10 disciples at like James and John just asking, you know what I'm saying, a simple request of being seen as a leader in God's kingdom. Like, it's like they literally was just like, you know, look, can we lead? can we lead? He's like, you know, no. All right, okay. You know, he said no. And the other girls got mad, and it's like, why are you upset? Why are you upset? I just asked a question. I just asked a question. Can I lead? He said no. Like, why are you upset? You know, so it's like if they didn't know about her, it's like, why are you mad at even the thought of someone having a leadership position, my guy? But if they did know about the bride, you can see the jealousy. You can see the anger and honestly audacity from James and John to ask a man if he would replace his wife's position with them instead. So it's like, girl, if they did know about her, it's giving audacity. It's giving, who are you? It's giving, what? Actually, can I be that girl, actually? It's like, no? No. So either way, you know what I'm saying? Either way, you can see the anger. You can see the mad from, you know what I'm saying? People who are upset that they're not placed in, you know what I'm saying? They're not placed in like a higher position in God's kingdom. Another thing that you can see, like, you can also see evidence of like how the world would try to harm her in the present age through the way that people try to gatekeep salvation. The Bible repeatedly says that salvation is free, that it is a gift, that it requires no work, That it is open and available to everyone who wants it. Okay, let's read Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 if we have any questions about that. And yet, the church tries to act as if only certain individuals who are elite enough, who do enough, who set some kind of proverbial standard to be, you know what I'm saying? They act like there's only a certain amount of people who are able to be a part of God's kingdom. And it's like saying the prayer of salvation is literally the baseline into becoming a Christian. You know what I'm saying? It's like once you get saved, you're a part of the kingdom. And that's it. that's all. You say the prayer, you're a part. You say the prayer, you're a part of it. There's nothing more that you need to do. There's no work that you need to do. So it's like if people are taking something that is open to everyone and turning it into something that's like exclusive when it's not exclusive, just so that they can feel better than someone else, just so that they can put themselves in a higher position to someone else, like literally just 'cause, like, just to be mean, just to, because people are selfish. And it's like, you know, you can only imagine like how evil, honestly, and hateful people will become once they discover that there actually is that there actually is a high position in God's kingdom, but they can't have it. You know what I'm saying? And so like, all of this evidence goes to show, you know what I'm saying, that Jesus is trying to protect his wife from the general church, because the church as a whole, most of the church, cannot be trusted. Cannot be trusted with someone of this caliber. Cannot be trusted with someone who was prophesied, because again, when people are prophesied, they tend to get murdered. Much like Jesus was. Much like John the Baptist was. So, you know, it's a very unfortunate. It is a very unfortunate situation. And I feel like it took me so long to believe it. Because I'm like, dang, like, are people really this evil? And he's like, yeah. Yeah, they are. And I had to sit here and get examples where, like, I didn't even want to believe it for real. And I was like, wow, you right though. I mean, they did kill you, but like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know why it took me. I don't know. It was hard for me to believe it. But I guess it's like, you know, when you're a good person, it's like you don't think that other people are so dark, you know? But I don't know. It was hard for me. But like, you know, to everyone who has seen this prophecy and believed it and tried to share it with others who wouldn't believe it, I wouldn't press so hard to try to get people to believe in it, because, you know, maybe they don't believe on purpose in order to protect Jesus's wife from harmful people like them. Okay, I would just let your peace return back to you, you know what I'm saying, and be happy that you have a heart that is pure enough to hear the truth and believe it. So, I also would like to end this on a couple of verses, as you know that I can do sometimes. So, for the first verse, I would like to say is in 2 Corinthians 2, 15 through 16. Excuse me. And that says, "For we are like sweet-smelling incense offered by Christ to God, which spreads among those who are being saved and to those who are being lost. For those who are being lost, it is like a deadly stench that kills. But for those who are being saved, it is a fragrance that brings life. Who, then, is capable for such a task?" The next one I want to read is 2 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12. And that said, "So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth." So this is to explain this verse, you know, God allowed, you know what I'm saying, the deception of everyone, like the church believing that the whole church is his bride because they would rather enjoy evil than believing in the truth. So he allowed the deception to take place. It's not him deceiving the people. He allowed the deception in order to protect his wife. So that's why I put that verse in there. The next verse that I want to read is John 2:23-25, and that says, "While Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in him as they saw the miracles he performed. But Jesus did not trust himself to them, because he knew them all. There was no need for anyone to tell him about them, because he himself knew what was in their hearts." And then the last verse that I want to read is John 15:18-19. And that says, "If the world hates you, just remember that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, then the world will love you as its own. But I chose you from this world, and you do not belong to it. So that is why the world hates you." So, you know, that explains why, you know, the bride of Christ and her prophecy has to be so hidden from the girlies, because they would try to kill her dead. It's just not funny. I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny. I make a joke out of everything. I am not being disrespectful. This is how I cope. So, you know. That's all I have to say on the matter. If you made it all the way to the end of the podcast, thank you for listening. Thank you for making it all the way to the end of the podcast. If you would like to find me online, I'm on Instagram at The Bible Is Inclusive, and I'm on Twitter at Bible Inclusive. I also have a book. It's called Who Told You That God Was Homophobic? And that's available in paperback and ebook. And that's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, Kobo, Scribd, and other retailers. And if you would like to visit my website is called thebibleisinclusive.com. And that is the host of my blog. And I make many posts on there about, like, you know, the spiritual things that I have found out. I tend to be more active on the blog than I am on my podcast. So I recommend that you subscribe to my website so that you can get updates every time I post on there, because, you know, she posts on there more frequently. And if you would like to become a Christian, you can figure that out on my website as well. You can go to the menu. There's a tab and it says, you know, how to become a Christian, and it'll show you the prayer that you can pray in order to become a Christian if you would like to. And also, you don't have to, you're not forced into this, but if you would like to donate to me, you can also go to my website and there is a tab on there that says donate, and you can, put in, you know, however much money you would like. They have a single, like, one-time donations, and they also, I think they have reoccurring donations on there too. So you can, you know, do it however you want, and you'll be able to donate to me. And yeah, thank you again for making it all the way to the end of the podcast, and I'll see y'all in the next one.